Everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. It's June 2017, and you're listening to episode 40 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Jimmy Butts. Jimmy holds an AB in Bible and a BA in Christian Ministry. He has ministered to adherents of African American religions for more than 10 years, is currently completing a Master of Divinity in Islamic Studies, and is a pastor at Forest Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. In the Volume 40, Number 3 issue of the Christian Research Journal, Jimmy has written a feature called "Is the Black Man God?" Challenging the Central Claim of the Nation of Islam. Jimmy, it's good to have you on.
Good to be on.
Well, I'm really looking forward to talking to you about this. Can you help us and just frame a little bit for us the historical response to the Nation of Islam and just, you know, what kinds of things have Christians done in trying to reach out in the past to adherents of Nation of Islam?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, so scholars such as S.N. Udom, along with Lewis DeCaro, argues that oftentimes in the black church, black Christians simply ignored the Nation of Islam rather than engage with them. And really, when they engaged with them, they were just simply dealing with their critiques, such as like calling them or saying that their doctrine was racist, rather than critical theological reflections on some of their claims. And so oftentimes, the Nation of Islam has been able to have free reign in these communities because they haven't been challenged. And so, in my opinion, this response was one of the reasons why they were able to pull so many attenders of the black church out of the churches into their mosque.
What do you think is something that's particularly appealing about Nation of Islam in the African American community?
Well, I think what many Christians fail to realize is that Christianity in America has historically been linked to forms of degradation to African Americans. And so one thing that the Nation of Islam is able to do is, although some of their doctrines are far-fetched, as it comes to issues of dignity or respect, they provide something that African Americans have sought for centuries, but oftentimes have found elusive, and that's self-respect, dignity, and a culture. And so I think that, you know, although it may seem, you know, weird that some people may accept these doctrines, what they do offer is something that many in the African American community desperately desire.
You mentioned that some of the doctrines of the Nation of Islam are far-fetched. Can you tell us what some of those are in particular that people find appealing, even though they are, like you say, far-fetched?
So, for example, the idea that the black man is God, like this is, you know, the central claim of the Nation of Islam, and that, you know, the black man created the heavens and the earth. And that the white man is the devil. And so these are two particular claims that they use as a means to soothe the pain of racism within the hearts of many African Americans. And so the idea that we're God and that the one who has been oppressing you is actually the epitome of evil, I think has connecting points within the psychology of African Americans historically.
So I know that before I talked to you about writing for us kind of an update on the Nation of Islam, I did not know who Dr. Wesley Muhammad was. And so why should Christian apologists and Christians in general be aware of who he is? And can you tell us who he is?
Yeah, so Dr. Wesley Muhammad is a young budding scholar who obtained his PhD in Islamic religion and Near Eastern languages and culture, with an emphasis on Islam. And so he's written many books. He's been in many debates. He's produced many lectures. And his main purpose is an academic vindication of Elijah Muhammad. And so whereas in the past people were able to say that only the uneducated would listen to some of the claims of the Nation of Islam, when you have a person with the credentials that Wesley Muhammad has, it makes an apologetic critique of him even that much more necessary for Christians during this time.
Can you explain to us who you just mentioned, Elijah Muhammad? Can you explain to us who Elijah Muhammad is and how he characterizes the God of Christianity?
Yeah, so Elijah Muhammad is, he was the son of a Baptist minister, and he himself was a Baptist minister for a time, but he converted into Islam after hearing the teachings of a man by the name of Farid Muhammad, who in Nation of Islam doctrine is a god, or is the god. And so Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. And what Elijah Muhammad says about Christianity, about the God of Christianity, is that he is a spook. And when he uses this term, it's used in a pejorative way to suggest that it's foolish for people to believe that a God is someone that you can't see. Since we've been made in his image, since we can be seen and we're material, then the God that we serve should be material and should be able to be seen as well. And so this was what Elijah Muhammad spoke of about the spook God.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Jimmy Butts, who has written a feature article, "Is the Black Man God? Challenging the Central Claim of the Nation of Islam," in the 2017 volume 40, number 3 issue of the journal. To read his article, please subscribe to the journal. And for the month of June 2017, we have a special subscription rate of $30. And normally a 6-issue subscription is $39.50. To take advantage of this special discount, please subscribe online and visit equip.org. You were kind of giving us the background before we had a break on who Elijah Muhammad is in terms of the teachings and why he was important, and how Wesley Muhammad is defending him. What other things are a weakness of Wesley Muhammad's apologetic in defense of Nation of Islam?
So one of the things that he seeks to do is he asserts that the Jewish and Christian understanding of God shifted after they encountered Greek philosophy. He says that, before they encountered Greek philosophers, they believed in a material God. And after that, they started teaching, that God was immaterial. But this is based on a presupposition that God is a man. In other words, in his observation of the transition of Jewish and Christian exegetes to emphasize the immateriality of God, he suggests he assumes that this signaled a change in the doctrine rather than apologetic response for clarity. And so while we would look at the emphasis of early Jewish and Christian believers emphasizing the immateriality of God as an apologetic response to Greek philosophers, he is suggesting that it is a shift in their doctrine to an immaterial God.
So you're talking to us about their particular doctrine of God, and how does that influence their view of the devil? In terms of Satan, how does it influence their particular doctrine of who God is?
Yeah, so in their doctrine of God, they suggest that there was a man by the name of Yaqub. And Yaqub was a man who, in their theology, formed the devil. But he did this through a grafting process, sort of like a birth control process of changing the black gods into white devils. And so, in essence, this undermines their critique or their suggestion that the white man is the devil, because the white man, in their view, comes from God, and so he's God as well. And so in my take of that, that undermines their suggestion that the white man is the devil.
Can you explain a little bit more? I know that they try to make God into something material, and of course we know that the Bible speaks of God sometimes using those kinds of descriptions that they are obviously are taking literally. So can you please explain to us a little bit more about their view, just anthropomorphically, about who God is, and but why is it necessary in the word, that in the Bible, to speak of God in that way, even though we don't take it literally, like that has God has hands or God has literal eyes?
Exactly. Yeah. So the word that oftentimes is used by theologians to explain this phenomenon that you just mentioned is called anthropomorphism. And this is a type of language that speaks of God in with human attributes. So as you mentioned, you know, it speaks of the arm of the Lord. The arm of the Lord brought you out of Egypt. The arm of the Lord delivered you from this oppressor. And so what Wesley Muhammad has done is he's went into the Bible and used these particular descriptions of God as it using anthropomorphic language, and he suggests that this proves that God is a man. But what we fail to realize is that there's no other way that we as finite creatures can describe the infinite without using metaphors such as God using his arm to deliver, or God seeing with his eyes, because we don't have the words to speak of this God that is totally beyond our capacity. So we have to speak of him using analogy. And so to see these texts in the scripture that speak of God using his arm or seeing or walking, this is just the limitations of our language as we're talking about an infinite being.
So I know, you know, I mentioned this on a previous podcast when we were talking about kids and apologetics, but, you know, when my oldest son was younger, we told him that God the Father is a spirit and he doesn't have a body like a man. And his immediate question to us, and he was three, was, well, you told me that Jesus was God and Jesus has a body. So how do we effectively share with people who hold to the views of the Nation of Islam with that tension there?
Yes, exactly. So the traditional doctrine of Christianity, as you said, is, you know, that we view God as a Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And also another element of Christian doctrine is that Jesus is God, and that Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. And so, yes, the Nation of Islam, they would use this as a verification of their point that God is a man. But in the Christian view, Jesus is not ontologically a man. Or to say it another way, Jesus became a man. He, in essence, Jesus is spirit. He is God the Son. And so because of his incarnation, he took on flesh, but flesh wasn't his for eternity past. And so when we look at who Jesus is, we see that he took on flesh, he took on manhood, but he's not essentially or ontologically a man. And so this would still conflict with what Dr. Wesley Muhammad would be trying to prove.
So how can churches effectively equip their members to engage with people who believe the doctrines of the Nation of Islam?
So one of the biggest things I think that we fail to do within our local churches is to educate our members. And when we have people going around spreading false doctrines, such as the Nation of Islam, we need to educate our people on the things that they're saying and what the Bible has to say in response. And so I would recommend churches to have workshops to invite people who may specialize in these areas to come in and to teach people, you know, what are some of the claims that you may be hearing out in your communities and how can we respond to this? Because in essence, what we do is when we don't educate our people, we leave them to the wolves, so to speak. And so if they don't have the defense training that an apologetic response would give them, then they're left to their own, they're left on their own trying to defend from what these people are saying. But I would also say, you know, just to take these groups seriously, and that pastors and church leaders need to take these groups seriously, that these people are actually out here in our communities and even infiltrating our churches at times, seeking to draw people away from Christ. And so when we ignore what these groups are doing, in one sense, it seems like we may be legitimizing them or empowering them to lead people astray. And so that would be the two things I would say, to educate and to make sure that people are taking these groups seriously.
Is there any other way that Christians, maybe churches that are not in, like, let's say your church doesn't have a majority of African American members, or maybe you don't know as much about this, is there any other way churches could help their members besides training, you know, be able to be equipped apologetically with this particular group?
Yes. So, I mean, I would still say that even if they do not have any presence, the Nation of Islam isn't present in their communities, I still think that people should be aware of what, you know, the Nation of Islam teaches and how this affects their brothers in Christ in other areas, because they may not be in their communities, but they may be in the communities that are, you know, close by. But even more so, I would say that people can still serve in this ministry by helping others who are on the front lines. And so maybe giving to ministries that do apologetics to these groups. And so that would be, you know, what I would say to provide insight and to keep people aware of what's going on in the full Christian body. Here in America, but also, you know, being able to donate and to support their brothers and sisters who are on the front line.
Is there anything specific besides learning more about them that, like, how do we contextualize apologetics specifically for adherence to Nation of Islam?
Yes. Just like when we seek to do ministry, like in other countries or in other places around the world, we know that we have to contextualize the gospel. This doesn't mean that the gospel changes, but it means that we speak the gospel in such a way that it would be in a culturally appropriate way, that people can understand it. And so in that same light, I believe that we have to do contextual apologetics. And so we must do apologetics in a culturally sensitive and culturally appropriate way. And one thing I think is very important when it comes to doing apologetics and training people in this area is using African-American authors. Some people, you know, disagree with that. They may say that you're giving ground, but I would say that it's important to affirm that there is not simply people who are not within your ethnicity who believe these things. And so I think that by using and uplifting African-American voices, that can be a culturally appropriate way of doing apologetics, especially among adherents to the Nation of Islam.
Well, I definitely think this is an important issue because when I watched Wesley Muhammad's videos on YouTube, they are quite powerful. He's very passionate in his beliefs. And so therefore, if you're not equipped, how would you answer that? So I think that's very important. Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions for Jimmy. So Jimmy, macaroni and cheese or collard greens?
Macaroni and cheese.
What was your first job?
Burger King.
And what's on rotation on your music playlist right now?
Oh, wow. I would say Propaganda and, wow, you kind of caught me off guard with that one. What's the guy's name? I'm going to blank right now. Just Propaganda and other Christian hip-hop artists.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, I was going to say, you better explain who that is. You an early bird or a night owl?
I am a night owl. I stay up all times of night.
And it's June 2017, so what's the most exciting thing that's happened to you in the past couple months?
Oh, yes, I just had my first child, who's a daddy's little girl. Her name is Sayla Grace. So that's been the most exciting thing that's happened for me in a long time.
Well, since you're a night owl, that'll help you out there when you have a new baby in the house. Well, thanks, Jimmy, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you.
Jimmy Butts has written a feature article called Is the Black Man God? Challenging the Central Claim of the Nation of Islam in the 2017 Volume 40, Number 3 issue of the Christian Research Journal. To read more apologetics articles in this issue, including features on the Sunni-Shia split in Islam by Hank Hanegraaff and Safe Spaces on College Campuses by Jay Watts, please subscribe to the journal. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, follow Bible Answer Man on Instagram, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes and rate our podcast. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, head to iTunes or Stitcher to subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's new audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.